The meeting of the Board of Directors by the Groveland Community Services District will begin by pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rachel, you have to take the roll call to the next.
Director Moore,
present.
Director Kekowski, present. Director Edwards,
here.
Director Slaton,
here.
And John Armstrong is on his way.
And then we need a motion. I guess I don't need an in on that. A motion to approve the order of agenda.
I make a motion we approve the order of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 You want that?
Where's my little special?
It's over here. Sorry.
So I got that same quick to get to that. Okay. We have no current members of the public online, but if they were, we will let them, they can move this later. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on any individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
Absolutely. Thank you. Joel, I'm going to act as if we have the crowded house in the audience. I say that every single time since it's so convenient for everyone to attend. But we accept comments on all of the agenda items, and the board president will ask for those comments at the appropriate time when the item is being considered. And you are welcome to submit your comments in writing. You can either put that in the chat function on the Zoom platform. You can write an email to board@gcsd.org, and we will be looking for those, or you can raise your hand in the Zoom function, and we will acknowledge you at the appropriate time.
It's 76 degrees in here.
Yeah,
cool and very little. Thank you, bro. I don't go outside when it's 76 degrees usually. Well, that's what it is there.
Oh, that's not right.
It feels 76 to me. Which is maybe you're having, well, yeah, you're having a cold flash.
Your
hot flash.
Yeah, your jacket. You're good. Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Thank
you.
Yes. You're 76 all the time.
Just like that, I'd be dying. All right, we'll go on to the information item, starting with the staff report and our wonderful fire department.
Hello, everyone. Travis Chung, Groveland Fire Department. This is our staff report for the month of November 2023. As far as operations, on November 11th, there was a vegetation fire on Wardsbury Road that Engine 781 and Baldwin County Engine 631 responded to. It was 1/2 acre in the grass when they arrived, and the fire was quickly contained at 1 acre in size, and the fire cause is still under investigation. And then on November 14th, 2023, just after the board meeting, there was a vegetation fire at the bottom of New Priest Grade off of Grizzly Road, which was a burn pile which spread due to the wind to the nearby vegetation. That was contained at 1/4 acre. And then as far as all equipment, everything is in service, available. Some additional training that we did in the month of November was pumping, area orientation, pre-plans, rope rescue, rig operations. And as far as training classes, FAE Rene Herrera completed his Instructor 1 task book, and he also completed his Instructor 2 class at Fresno City College.
Excuse me, just what is RIC operations?
Rapid Intervention Crew. It's okay. Basically.
Thank you, Greg. Self-explanatory. It's just I didn't know the acronym.
Yeah, it's kind of if a firefighter were to get trapped or go down on an incident, that's the crew that would go in and rescue them. That's the idea.
You guys just let me know. I am too. Hi, John.
I forgot to tell you, I had gotten an appointment with the house today.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's totally spaced out.
That's okay. We have you marked as absent right now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sorry.
We'll keep you there.
Yeah.
have a safe trip.
Okay, thanks. Sorry.
Everything goes well.
I totally spaced.
Well, can we congratulate you on your 13 years of service?
Yeah,
we can
just make sure.
You're almost in time for it. Anyway, I really apologize. Sorry about it. Okay.
All right.
See ya.
Drive safe.
Thanks for coming in.
Stay safe, guys.
You too. All right.
Yeah.
So where were we at?
Oh, fire department. Okay. And moving forward, fire department news on November 7th, we had our new extrication tools, the Jaws of Life, that are the battery powered tools. They had their first annual service. And it goes to show how important that is because there was an internal leak that was found on our RAM tool. And he had to actually take the tool with him and provide us a loaner tool to get that all fixed. And while he was there, he let us demo the Palmatro mini cutter and the Palmatro combi tool, which we are in the process of purchasing due to the OTS grant funding that we received. And
how did you like it?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. They're gonna serve a great purpose because they're just so much smaller and lighter weight. They're gonna be great. And speaking of that grant, here was our first press release regarding it, and talks about the tools that we're purchasing and all the importance that they will provide. And then as far as calls are concerned, month of November, we had 33 calls, three of which were aid to Tuolumne County. And we're looking pretty much on trend as far as the year goes. Probably end at, 560 or 570 calls for the year. That concludes my report, unless there's any questions. And then Chief Torres is here. If he has anything to add?
Yeah, Tuolumne County report, basically tons of public service events that we've been participating in, Snorkel's Christmas parade, and the Yonkman Cat Fire. It was a good event, obviously, 114 entities, I believe, down there. As far as grant skills, we were awarded the CFF grant for $15,000. That gave us the thermal imaging cameras on every single one of the Type 1s, five county Type 1s. New tool, obviously, for some incumbents. 6-1 was a recipient of one of those, as well as radios. So no BK our radios and handheld radios for purchase. We also were awarded the VFC grant for $40,000 matching, so 20 and 20. So we should be getting 57 hose for all the engines and radios on that grant also. Other than that, like he said, multiple trainings, multi-company trainings, meeting with cooperators, trying to get everybody on the same page. And as far as winter preparedness happening for Cal Fire, they should be going into winter preparedness next Monday. So next Monday, you'll have the one O2350 engine up on the grill room at the open station for the winter. So primary goal is fuel reduction, if they're available for calls if needed. So there
Oh, also, permits were required for residential burning. That's, it's open burning.
Great.
We have new faces.
Yeah, we have some
guest stars here.
He's just on loan from Columbia. I typically work in Jamestown, but John Robaugh, I had the privilege of attending one of these before, so I've seen you guys a little bit, and happy to be here.
Hi.
We always got a bridge on the spot.
The reason why you'll see new faces, obviously, is because we have so much new I think I have 19 people that are on probation right now within TCFD alone. So you'll see faces like Cameron Boyd over here. He's one of our firefighter twos that's out of Station 79, trying to get him rotated so they see all areas. They're familiar with all the equipment and everything like that. And then John's up here on overtime. So
it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Nice to see extra firefighters.
Yeah. Everybody's always happy to see you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate it. And you guys and all of us, the grant applications and things that we get are just fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's just,
I'd like to point out and recognize Travis Chung for doing a lot of hard work on this grant. So he spends a lot of hours on this. We have a grant committee now that's being formed for Townside also. So hopefully we could all work together and try to get it as soon as possible.
Are you doing that when everybody else is playing Fortnite?
Yeah.
Anything else? We'll move on to the CERT report.
Hi, Bob Esquith, Program Manager for CERT. We had a very quiet November and so far December. We did publish some safety guidelines in Nextdoor and Facebook for winterizing yourself in your home and your cars. I'm signed up for the final class in the hierarchy of training for CERT, and that's in March. That'll allow me to do the training for people here instead of us having to go to the county or to Twain Hart. And we'll be setting the schedule, meet with Pete in the next few weeks and setting the schedule for next year. But basically, we'll be doing trainings on the last, or meeting on the last Saturday of each month in the morning, most of the time here. And other than that, we have about at least a dozen and maybe as many as 16 people have expressed an interest in joining CERT here. When we give them the opportunity for the class, which is free, maybe half of them show up, but at least there's an interest in it. And we, together with Tuolumne County CERT, we'll be applying to Listos for the grants once they open them for the classes. We have to bring in instructors for the classes, and it's the basic training class is Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, with a rather rigorous event at the last half of Sunday. When I took that up in Twain Hart, what they did is they blocked out all the windows in the high school gymnasium. You couldn't see an ounce of light. They silenced the little exit signs and everything. We had to, I think there were 12 in the class, we had to split into teams, an extraction team, a discovery team, teams that dealt with the triage once they took out people. And then they said, okay, there's an unknown number of people inside there, go find them. And we had to do that following the rules we'd just been taught. So it was kind of an interesting exercise. Nobody died, no animals were harmed. But we'll be doing, that'll be part of the training when it comes up in the spring. We'll be applying for the grant form. That's it.
Okay, well, cool.
Thanks to you too. It's just a good reminder of what people should kind of be keeping in mind. The season coming.
Alrighty, Mr. Campa, on to you.
I think I'm one.
Operation.
You want this one? Oh, I'm just going to pass. The only thing that I really need to report about is that yesterday we had a LAFCO meeting, and it was what I would say is definitely the turning point in LAFCO. Now that we have the special districts on LAFCO, the level of involvement, the level of understanding of the role of LAFCO, and the pressure is certainly on LAFCO to get some things done and to actually meet on a regular basis and in fact, take on a more a higher level of activity in the planning realm. You know, many laugh goes throughout the state, and that's Local Agency Formation Commission. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it has officials from the two from the city, two from the county, two from special districts, and one at large member. And they deal with annexations and dissolution of districts and creation of new districts. And it's a very important function because it guides the growth and management of services throughout the county. So we were very involved. Our two representatives, Glenn Jacobs from TUD and John Viriani from Multnomah Sanitary District, are extremely engaged and doing a great job. And at this meeting, there was a discussion about whether LAFCO was going to be an independent body or whether it was still going to be housed within the county and staff with county staff. Because there's a belief that one of the reasons that the LAFCO hasn't been able to do anything is because county staff has been busy. They've been overwhelmed. They've got a lot of projects. They're trying to share time. And then there's also concerns from some that the county can't really step away completely from the county role when they're in the LAFCO role, which, you know, I mean, that they're employed by the county. They're employed by the county, and they, you know, they are under the guidance of the county and county administration and county policies and direction. So if the LAFCO role's in conflict, it, you know, it can cause issues. And when you've got like you've got some conflict between the city and the county right now, that it's going to take some effort to get resolved on a number of different matters. LAFCO needs to be aware and informed as annexations come up, as, you know, pressures on services get raised. The LAFCO would take a more formal role in conducting and taking some of the studies that have been done and actually doing something with them, because right now they're getting done, but the studies are one-dimensional. They're not really action plans on what we do into the future. LAFCO is the appropriate body to actually carry that forward, looking at the services provided by all the districts. So it's great. The timing was perfect to get the districts involved and get LAFCO up and running. Janice has been very engaged, and, you know, she wants to be the first to know what's going on, because the LAFCO doesn't do their meetings by Zoom or any other platform. We're going to have to push that if we want to get other involvement. But we will have the GCSD will have the seat on LAFCO starting next year for 4 years. And we're trying to get the county to keep their LAFCO representatives on rather than rotating them out every year, because they're really not getting up to speed on things. And I think they're realizing now that it takes a lot more effort than just showing up for a meeting and going home. It's become an issue that or a venue where a lot is going to happen. So the discussion on that one agenda item on whether they're going to proceed with you know, having an independent LAFCO went on for a full 2 hours. And then they got into their other two action items, and, you know, which were just for additional help, you know, staffing help, which they, one of them they delayed the decision about, and another one they executed a on-call agreement with the planning firm so that they've got staff help. And they did direct LAFCO to put it on the agenda for January to talk about the work plan. So I'll recirculate the work plan among our board, just so that we can actually have it on the agenda for our next meeting. And then I'm also going to circulate it within the special districts, the work plan for LAFCO for the next year. It's really actually this fiscal year. because it was adopted is pretty benign. It's basically the, and it sounds like the this LAFCO is now ready to take on some additional work. And they're also going to consider an agenda item for potentially issuing a request for qualifications and proposals from consultants to serve with, the executive officer for LAFCO. So, and just based on the number of positive votes in that direction in the room, it looks like it's a solid majority to go that way. Never know when it comes down to it next month, with, you know, whether they'll proceed with that or not. But anyway, that's the majority of what I.
Well, that's actually quite a lot more than what usually hears from LAFCO.
I started off my discussion with the commission last night and just public comment that Quincy had stated that there's LAFCO has been a benign entity forever. And I started off saying, well, they have been, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
That part of what, you know, they've done is dealt with an application that comes in. They've gone through the municipal service reviews, but they've never done anything. If the municipal service review said services need to improve, they didn't ever come up with an action plan on how to deal with it. Or so what has happened now is now you're getting applications from, Columbia Fire District doesn't really exist anymore, but you know, you get an annexation application to annex more property generically from a fire district because there's a lack of communication and cooperation and understanding between the county and the district on the services being provided, you know, and services being provided outside of boundaries and an expectation that if they're going to provide services outside the boundaries, even though they're mutual aid, that they ought to be able to annex that property in and receive the property tax revenue. A lot of misunderstandings in that, but it's in many cases it's due to the fact that LAFCO really never knew that it needed to consider impacts on services as the areas were growing outside of any boundaries for a fire station. And LAFCO never got involved. And so now we're kind of, you know, we've got these studies that we're working on and different things with the, you know, the standard of coverage and that will be something that LAFCO will weigh against, you know, weigh the success of services against that. So, wow. Yeah, there.
I think I know this, but I'm just the boundaries of LAFCO, the review is the county,
right?
They're actually responsible for local agency formation in the county,
right?
Anywhere, or not formation or whatever. So, yeah, they need to. That is the only entity that really does that,
exactly.
You know, has that authority, such as it is, or responsibility, I guess, maybe, you know, because even the county itself. Doesn't because the county doesn't control Sonora,
mm-hmm.
and they don't control us because we're the state. So, you know, LAFCO really is the only entity that is responsible for figuring out what is supposed to happen. It's how to make things happen everywhere in an equitable manner.
So that's good to hear. So we'll have it on the agenda for January, and we will. You have a good conversation about where LAFCO is and where we see LAFCO going and getting prepared for our vote on LAFCO and what issues LAFCO is dealing with now. Because there are things like the dissolution of the 10 county service areas. And Michelle, you might have some involvement with those when you were there, but the county service areas were required to be formed to provide road maintenance for subdivisions, for development projects, so that access could be maintained in perpetuity, so that these parcels, so that people wouldn't be locked on a road that you couldn't get through because they refused to maintain it. And so what happened is the people relatively quickly voted to not have that, pay that CSA tax anymore. And so then they just sat there without any money coming in to do maintenance. County hasn't done any maintenance. And now LAFCO is considering dissolving these. Well, they were a condition of getting the subdivision approved, you know, so that they could have access. Now LAFCO is going to consider dissolving them because they don't have any funding. So somebody's going to be playing pickup in the future at some point, you know, when that, you know, when that engine can't get down the road, or struggles getting down the road, or whatever. And no snow removal, no anything. And people don't know when they're buying in that area, they don't realize, hey, the county's not going to come, they're not going to plow this road, they're not going to maintain it at all. So anyway, LAFCO's going to be taking that decision very soon.
Real quick question. LAFCO's using the county attorney.
Mm-hmm.
How is that fair?
Well, it's just like using the planning director or the, you know, community development director. So that's it. Both of those, the executive officer and legal counsel are part of that agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting.
That was last week.
Exciting.
Welcome back.
Brain sleep.
Both of you guys got back from your cruise yesterday.
Yeah, I had the CSDA executive committee meeting in Sacramento. I back to Sacramento in the morning, had the executive meeting, and back to the lab. Good. Good day.
Back to the grind.
Yeah.
Reality.
Okay.
More than 2 months.
Did you have more to cover? Did we move on to it?
Move right along.
All right. Nate's operations, Louis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So November was a pretty quiet month for the guys. There's a couple of service leaks out there. Only two properties were affected by it. So not much going on that. They're able to kind of just zero in on routine maintenance and keeping stuff going. So I'm going to go ahead and move into all the projects that we've got going on. Headworks. We're still waiting for some submittals to come in. Apparently the pre-cast submittals won't come in until January from the companies. So we're still looking at 2 months after they get the submittal on lead times. So once they're approved. So we're still looking at February, March for that project to kind of like break ground. The Clearwell project's completed. It's done. There's nothing really else to go on that. Butler Way little pump station was fixed. No more leaks. Painted. Looks good. So we're able to move on. Let me step back a little bit. There is one other thing left. We have our second inspection on Second Roadie's Clearwell, and that happens in March. So we do have that portion, but all the main work's done. So if they find anything on an inspection, they'll have to come back and fix it. But other than that, the main
is that diversion now?
Yeah. Yep. So
you remember several months ago we were in this pull our hair out condition. You know, trying to get the make sure we're gonna meet the timelines and about another extension on the time and change some staff at the contractor and change an attitude and they got it done.
They did. It's pretty exciting, actually. But there was a couple little spots inside Big Creek's Clearwell that they're most likely going to have to fix. So they're going to wait till the second inspection on Second Grody to see if they're going to be in both tanks or just one. So there's going to be some work coming up to do Big Creek and possibly Second Grody, but hopefully it won't turn into an ordeal like the whole project was. So. And let's see, your sewer project is, as of right now, it's pretty much completed, except for the coating of the lift stations. We did get a proposal back on that, and we're just waiting for a schedule because we did sign that change order. So that's pretty exciting on the part of when we're inspecting these things. You can see where water was seeping into the wet wells from high points coming in, and it's definitely needed. So it's pretty exciting to see this stuff get done. So, but we'll have a little bit more of an update on that once we get the schedule. We have the well project that's pretty much, we're just kind of waiting for the permit from the county. And so once that's in hand, they can get up there and start doing their work. Fuels project's on hold. We'll probably start that after the beginning of the first of the year. And then we have the drought project, which is going to be a tank at tank five, an additional tank at tank five, pipeline going into Big Oak Flat. That Brandon's hoping, our engineers are hoping to have that, the plan set done by the 22nd of this month and then out to bid in January. So that project will be moving forward. And then AWS, that project of trying to relocate it to the ball field area, is they're working on the plans, but once they get the plans for the pipeline and the tank, they will be able to narrow in on that and actually get that one out. And so they're hoping to have that one done by January as well, so we could go out to bid into January, early February. So we'll see how that works out. Both pretty big projects, actually. So. And then CDBG, the pipeline coming from Groveland into Big Oak Flat is, well, we'll probably talk about it a little bit here later, but it's goes to the county on the 19th. So, and they'll submit the application for it. So, pretty exciting stuff as well, because that's going to interlink with the pipeline coming down Harper to Black Road, and they're going to tie in together. So, you'll have 2 8-inch lines feeding Big Oak Flat. So, it's exciting.
There's a lot of water available in Big Oak Flat.
Yes.
Also, be different.
So, and then that's pretty much it. If you guys got some questions.
I can't wait to see that first hydrant blow over 1,000 gallons a minute in Big Oak Flat.
Yeah, and more. Pretty excited, actually. It's going to change development down there for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yonder, or whatever it's called now, might be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, well, they had to put in their own fire protection system and storage and pumping mm-hmm. system and maintain that forever.
On to Michelle.
It's my report.
Oh, okay.
So the board may remember that I had previously spoke about bringing the local hazard mitigation plan for approval at the December meeting. County OES has changed their schedule. They would like to receive them first, make their edits, then send them to FEMA, get FEMA's edits. So the board's actually approving a final version of it, which makes sense. So it's probably not going to be in front of the board until about March. But luckily, the edits are completed because I had planned to have it to the board today. And so that's just an update on where that is. It's going to keep us eligible for disaster funding through FEMA. The other thing to report on is the MD&A, the management discussion analysis, has been submitted to the auditor. They are reviewing it, and that completes our audit. And God, I was gonna call Jamie. Pam with Gilbert will be more than likely presenting in January, and I think remotely. Other than that, we received our third reimbursement for the Clean California grant for a little over $133,000. So that so far has been going pretty smoothly. And other than that, that's about it. So,
that's so good. All right. Considering
you were
at the beginning, don't have anything
else. Don't ask me twice.
I just thought, oh my
gosh, you should know better than that.
So, like the other time, we had like a short report and
yeah,
kind of tactfully went, you're finished.
All right, so then we can move on. Where are we at? All right, so we have several proclamations. They're welcome. Okay, we're going to do those first. Go into the proclamations, or okay. So the first one is a recognition of Anthony Trujillo for his 14 years of service.
You can't leave yet, Luke.
Just give me 1 second. I gotta talk to Andy real quick.
Let's just wait for him.
All right, awesome. He's taking my truck.
Yeah. But he doesn't have the Simon Hills.
Okay. So Anthony, 14 years. It's a good stint so far, you know. That's the kind of stuff that you look for and employees to be here and have that, you know, and that time with the district is a huge thing. He started his here reading meters. I'm pretty sure he's probably spent the most time reading meters of anybody since I've been here. So, and he was really good at it. Unfortunately, he left that world and went into Greg's world, and he even excelled even more. So he's his numbers, they just like float around in his head. That guy is so good with numbers. He can remember reads from people's meters when he read meters, you know. So he just taking that into Greg's world was just that is huge. It helped him out, and he's just took tests, passed them, certifications, and it just seems like he just grew so much being in Greg's department. So
is he a three now?
No, he's working on his three. He is a two across the board. So it's just
but he's still going.
He's still going, yep. I think he has a three coming up here pretty soon where he's going to go and test for it.
They only have those tests every so often, right?
It's getting a little better now because they actually have them online. Huh? They don't have them where you have to go down to Sacramento and sit in a room with a bunch of people. Yes.
Give them your path, give them your calculators, yes. And your
shoes. Yeah, you pretty much.
Show them your pencils and make sure that you pass.
Yeah. So, no, it's... Yeah, so that's gotten way better on that. Because then right when you hit the submit button, you know you pass too. So that's, you might not get your cert for 6 months, but you know you pass the test when you walk out of it. Because before you turn in your Scantron and you leave, and 3 months later they send you something in the mail, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's a different world now that we live in. So one thing I guess you can say thanks COVID for, right? They did push this because of that reason. So but no, Anthony, again, like he likes that routine. He likes just, you know, keeping things how they need to be, and just, you know, just good at it.
Really, he's the one that keeps Greg sane too, because they've been understaffed for a long time, had difficulty recruiting into their vacant positions, and so they've kept it up, you know, and Anthony's just been Greg's rock, at least to, you know, when Greg's out, Anthony's the man.
Yep.
And it's really been helpful to him. Very, very reliable, great person.
Yeah, and he'll jump. You need something, hey, middle of the night or whatever, he'll come in and take care of whatever he needs to at this plant. So it's another one. He lives close by, he's been here, you know, for years, so. It's good to see that growth and right here in the community that we have and where he grew up. So,
but how about we jump ahead a little bit to number four to recognize Spencer Edwards for his 6 years of service to the Global Community Services District.
Been fun.
Since you have to leave for
us. Yes,
yeah. It has been fun. I mean, the district. So much different now than it was when I came on. Janice and all three of us came on together. So much different. I mean, now we've got employees like Trujillo. Before, there were employees coming in, getting a year's worth of training, and leaving. We changed that. You got a good general manager now. He's managing. You know, we had people prior that wanted to be a good general manager, but they just didn't have the skill set. They had the intellect and everything, but they shouldn't have the skill set. Now, that one that certainly has the skill set. It's been great, you know. I started out reading water meters. Here I sit. Another couple of years. I love it. I really do.
Yeah, we appreciate you on the board and everything.
You're funny, just so short Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's hard to believe. The first time at the community hall where you took the oath, it's been 6 years. That is just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember at the community hall.
Yeah, yeah. That's it seems like it was yesterday. It really does. And we're all people there with pitchforks and
oh boy,
throwing stuff at us,
cutting each other's throats. And I agree. Lily was thinking about leaving. And I go, oh no, this is not good. Yeah. So I was coming in here. This is this true story. I was coming in to talk to Pete about Louie wanting to leave, and Pete was in there talking to Louie about saying, don't leave, we're going to make this a better place. Louie stayed, and look where he sits. Made a good decision with Pete, and we were all thinking the same way, you know, we got to keep Louie here. And they did. Good job, Pete. Keeping Louie here.
I was going to weld the doors closed.
That's it.
Chain him down, and
fire him. We'll have something to say.
Yeah. It's good to have your institutional knowledge and understanding of the history of the district and everything else, Spence, and your care for people in general. It's very nice, great.
Absolutely. Now I get old, and I got to go to we all have to fight that bell. I have to go over.
Well, this side of the
table, anyway. And so I'll do my level best to come back with him.
We appreciate you, you know, being here all the time. But
yeah,
I understand that you have to leave today for an appointment. And
join I think that.
See you next month if we don't see other
officials. We still have a quorum, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll yep. Next
all right. Yeah. Take it easy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're going to come back. Came on together, Janice, Nancy, and Spence. We came on right the same month or 2 months.
I really like
it. Yep. I was like the next year. Next month or so.
Stay out of trouble.
In a chilly
Martin down the
cafeteria.
Right.
So then next is recognition of Steve Bowie for his 4 years of service to the Roeland Community Services.
We got both of the operators anniversary this month.
It sounded like both maintenance people were October.
Yeah.
Bowie. What can you say?
Most improved.
Most improved, and he's brought some fire into a Greg world. But no, he kind of thinks the same as Greg. He thinks of the whole process and why it works and what works and why it's doing what it's doing. And so that's the kind of mentality you need if you're going to run a wastewater plant, because it changes on a daily basis. So for somebody to be always constantly thinking and trying to improve stuff, and it just kind of fits in with Greg on that. Greg doesn't have to be the only guy that has that brain power. Steve does step in and take on that role sometimes and brings up really good ideas and has really good questions. It might come out a little different than you would think, but they're good questions. So, but 4 years, again, that's like, just like Spence, this seems like, a couple weeks ago he came on, but Time flies when you're having fun. Well, if he, get him up to 14 years like Anthony, we'll have a.
But the time flies having fun is so accurate, because if it was still just struggling and miserable and everybody getting along, it would be like, gosh, it's 4 years.
We have directors leaving.
It's just, it's amazing what a difference it makes.
Yeah,
if all is going well.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, there's struggles. I'm not gonna lie. We don't hear about every single one of them, but there's definitely struggles. Things don't go right every day. There's some days I feel like I'm just pinned down in there. I'm like, but it's them having issues and troubles, and they come here. But it's it works out when you have people that can think and put stuff out there and come up with a good game plan and get it back where it needs to be. And that's what kind of Steve was able to take on that.
Yeah.
So it's a, he's a character. Very much, very a personality that I can really relate to. He's one of the few kind of people that would walk into the general manager's office and say, tell me what you do every day.
What do you know? He said, what do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
See, that's
I'm like this is so I sat there contemplating. I'm thinking, gosh, I guess I'm not doing a good job of conveying what I do, you know. And but you just have to understand that's his personality, and he really does want to know, and he wants to better himself, but he doesn't hesitate to ask those questions at all.
But sometimes the questions, like I said, they come out wrong. Right, they come out like you, when you just sit and you hear that, you're like,
"Are you offending
you have to go,
me?"
Wait a minute! Yeah. Oh wait, it's just it's pretty fun.
One of my sister in laws asks those type of questions all the time.
When I worked at the printing plant, you know, the production people, those of us in the office, it's like, I remember one of them kind of like, "What do you guys do all day?" I mean, other than like go to lunch and get to sit here in the air conditioning. Yeah, that's what we do. Come in town and cool off and wait for lunch.
After that question, that was the day that we decided we need to do like a role reverse and let the guys do admin for a day and let us girls go out in the fields. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
No.
Did you
put
a shield in the job for a day?
Yeah,
kind of like exactly. Fish, but sharing would bring your daughter
tag
along.
I think it'd be an absolute blast to have Louie go with me to LAPCO.
Right.
Or something, or, you know, one or two.
Questions.
Yeah.
Well, let me know.
We might sit right in perfect over here.
The police call that a ride along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
Absolutely.
Those are good people. Greg's got good folks.
And then, okay, number three. last but not least on the list, recognition of Janice Kwiatkowski for her 6 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District. Thank you immensely, also.
Thank you very much.
Great job.
Thank you.
Good job, as president.
All the same things we said about Spence, we could say about you. And, it's just.
Thank you for finding the piece.
Yes.
That is the best. Just kind of.
Or did Pete find us?
Yeah,
he was sitting in the stands. He walked right into it.
He had to show up.
He was
making himself obvious. Yeah, no, it was really a really good relationship from the beginning. It was just, you know, Janice, you're a big help in uncovering things. Not that anything was hidden by any means, but just asking questions that got to that helped me understand what needed to be done, what needed to be conveyed, and that just, it made a lot of difference to the, you know, to my initial work plan, that just then skyrocketed in all kinds of things, you know, because once you start turning over stones and finding all the fun things that we needed to address, we've been working through them. And so it's been a pleasure to have you on the board, and the interest in all of the other entities and everything else that you know, being involved with LAPCO and all of the bigger things that is going to really help GCSD in the future. It's helping now, but it's also, you know, it's going to affect county policy. It's going to address a lot of things that we're dealing with now that people didn't think about were going to be a problem in the future. So, been fun.
Very, very glad to be in that position, because that's just, to me, it's exciting. It's legal, which I've always tended to steer into, which I think I just find it so interesting. And I like to dig, you know, so that's a good place to start. So thank you very much.
Alrighty, moving on.
Consent calendar.
Consent calendar.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Okay, there we go, Bob. Trying to get the motion to move the motion in the same word.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So now we're 3-0. All right, we have no old business on the agenda. So then we'll move into the discussion and action items. Starting with A, which is an adoption of a resolution authorizing the general manager to sign a subrecipient agreement between the County of Tuolumne and the District for the GCSD Downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat Water System Improvements Project.
So I'd like to commend you really quickly here on how well you speak.
Oh, Lord, I feel like I'm stumbling over every word.
Well, some of these words knock people right out of their socks, but who wrote that anyway?
They're like, what can we trip her up with today? And even like, you know, when I'm reading it ahead of time, I'm like, oh, okay, like I'll just kind of remember while that was yesterday. So.
This is an exciting time. It's really exciting to be in this position, ready to submit our application and being assured that the project will be funded so long as we meet all of the requirements. And this is it's the relationship with the county that has allowed us to be able to be in this position. TUD and Jamestown CSD or Jamestown Sanitary District have typically been the areas where the county has focused this CDBG money to address infrastructure issues to help disadvantaged communities. And we have not been in this position before with the county to receive this funding. It's been a really long dry spell because of COVID primarily and changes in the political priorities within the CDBG program. But this is funding that the county gets all the time, and they have typically not had a lot of competition. They have a public hearing. They they do a call for projects, and projects come in, and usually there's a project that comes to the top right away as a priority. And but I've also seen other counties that actually have a very competitive ranking process and committee because there's so much competition for money. They don't put it out very often. We were successful in getting on the list in 2019 for the project, and there's a little over $3 million available. So we've crafted the project. We've removed pieces of the total project because it's about an $8 million project now. But we brought it down to where we're just basically connecting the other side of the loop from Groveland to Big Oak Flat, which is going to be just everything from there on is just improvements that are not as expensive to deal with. And are not as high of a priority as this is. So this is a great project to bring power flow to Big Oak Flat for the first time. And it's this agreement is required to allow the county to authorize us to implement the project. So this outlines the rules of engagement between us and the county and compliance.
Do we have anybody online? Any other
discussion? I'll just say that it's pretty exciting. When I went to that board meeting last Tuesday and they were, bringing up us getting the application in and everything, and they said it's been going on for about 25 years, CBD, right? This is our first one that I've known of the district ever did. So that is huge. That's really big in my opinion. So.
Very
nice,
yeah. Are
they going to
have a parade?
What's that?
No.
A parade?
Until the project is done.
Yeah. Are they going to have a parade? I know Rachel likes driving to the fire.
So she likes parading all over. She likes parading. Yeah.
We'll bring the CERT ambulance.
Yes.
I move to adopt resolution 55-2023, authorizing the general manager to sign a subrecipient agreement between the county of Maumee and the district for the DCS downtown Groveland Single Black Water System Improvements Project, which we need a quarterback in the
for. I'll second that motion.
All right. Motion made by Director Swan, seconded by Director Kwiatkowski. All in favor say aye.
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 My name is pronounced Kwiatkowski.
Well, I've said Kwiatkowski since I met you, I'm pretty sure. So.
And I say Kwiatkowski.
Oh, that's a good way to remember.
And everybody goes, Kwiatkowski. Yeah.
But I say it fast, then that it sounds cool.
And just the quiet part. Anyway, okay. I tell you, my papers are all messed up today.
So you just keep shuffling them.
Well, normally I've written like the page number down on it, but I didn't have paper when I was reading my stuff in advance. So
I did print numbers on
there. No, I mean, I write it on,
oh,
you know, like yeah, on my other agenda, so I know it's just change current on the page, whatever.
Yep.
And not have to do this. And here's the ambulance. All that to get to B. Okay. All right. So, item B, adoption of a resolution approving the potable water storage and distribution system improvements project and authorizing public bidding.
Okay.
On page 70.
Thank you. There.
Okay. We would love for you to.
I had absolutely nothing to do with preparation of this board packet, yet my name seems to be on everything. And I have to extend my appreciation.
Yeah, where's that guy?
To Rachel and Jen. Rachel put this whole thing together, and I actually forgot about having a board meeting today. Which is a good thing. That means I completely put my brain away for probably the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're all about here. Thank you. Did a fantastic job. Don't even need me anymore.
I got you.
Let's not get crazy.
Somebody has to go to a lap over there.
You can be gone occasionally, but let's just not even think about that.
So this is project number two. Of the drought resilient project that included the groundwater well, the storage tank and connecting pipeline, and then the third project being the AWS project, that relocation project that Louis talked about. This is the pipeline and tank. And we have our engineer prepared plans and specifications. We provided our review and comment on it, and we believe it's ready to go to bid. And we have the funding through the agreement with the Department of Water Resources to proceed with this 100% grant funding. We hope that all of our construction costs come in within that, and it will continue as 100% grant.
Cool.
Extreme. All right. Nobody else online, I'm sure. Any other discussion in the room? Brent, can we get a motion to approve this?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the adoption of a resolution 56-2023 approving the potable water storage and distribution system improvement project and authorizing public bidding for the potable water storage and distribution system improvement project. Period.
Also,
there's like two projects in there. One is
supposed to be comma or semicolon.
Maybe one is a project and one is a project.
That could be.
Typo maybe?
No, in parentheses. Where do I say that?
The motion was made by the director.
Oh, I'll second that.
By our
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody should say
Kwiatkowski,
Seconded by Director Mora. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. So another 0. And there's nothing else.
I'm just following directions.
Great. So then the last item, C, discussion and action related to the election of board officers for calendar year 2024.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Next week is Christmas. I don't know. Jim was trying to tell me that. I didn't believe her.
We kind of had this realization on the cruise because we were talking about this and that. And then she goes, well, so this comes this next weekend, we're going to Washington. And then she goes, and then the next weekend is Christmas. And I thought,
no way.
Oh my gosh.
It's a math.
Yes, it is. Okay. So what discussion and action do we need?
Nominate and elect a board president for the calendar year, nominate and elect the vice president, and appoint Rachel Perlman as district secretary.
Okay, I would like to nominate Nancy Mora for presidency second term. I think it's very important to do because you're almost just getting into how the whole flow works at 1 year and doing it for a second year is
almost a bit of a wonder.
That's okay, you're a winner. So I think it's important continuity to continue. I'll use some good words there.
Yeah.
You're willing to, right?
I am willing to.
We discussed this.
I am willing if you guys want me to.
Great. If that was a motion, I'll second it.
Okay.
I think this has to be a motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So we'll say that for the office president.
We'll do them one at a time.
So we'll have you as a motion, you as a second for president.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then since, like she said, we've already discussed this, I will move to have her continue in the office as vice president.
Wait, you got to take a vote on the
first. Oh, I thought you said we could just do it all together.
No, one at a time.
Okay, I thought you were saying just the opposite because I started to do. Okay, so then Janice firsted that, and Bob seconded it. So see what I told you.
Yeah, it's what you said.
Yeah, exactly. So except we're now laughing at this. So we all in favor of
aye.
I have to vote.
Yeah.
I would normally abstain, but I have to vote
that.
Today
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Okay. So then now
it's so complicated.
Unfortunately, Dakota is calling me.
So are
I,
you making the motion?
I will nominate Janice Plaikowski for the vice president. So for VP. Nancy,
there you go. Well, you got easy this year, Pete. You didn't have to bring a new board member up to speed, or we're all up to speed, you know.
Yeah.
Breaking
his arms or
yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for Janice to be the vice president, I made the motion. It was seconded by Bob. All in favor say aye.
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 And I will move to appoint Rachel Perlman to be the district board secretary for the calendar year 2024.
And I'll second that motion. Would you like to be the
And I nominate Amber Schoen. Just kidding.
I want to throw a wrench in the fizzle.
Nice try.
Did she already second that?
Yeah, she did.
Yes,
so,
she did.
So Jim. All right. So.
Congratulations, Rachel.
Yay.
Yay.
Right, so all in favor for Rachel.
I didn't ask if you were already, if you were willing.
All right, I know.
Aye.
So I'll speak for she's willing.
That's actually part of the job.
We're definitely able.
She's ready. If she's doing all your stuff without you, you're not here.
Yeah.
Of course she's able. All
right. After that strange little fiasco, I say we are adjourned at 11:08.
That was a great meeting, guys.
Yeah.